Welcome to Connections Church YouTube and online channel. Our desire is that every person who watches and listens to the preaching of God's Word would be helped, inspired, transformed, and mobilized. Join us now as we dive into the preaching of the living Word of God.
A couple of weeks ago, myself and Pastor Amir from Coltonville, we were just chatting about prayer models that you find in Scripture, and we started speaking about basically the most impacting, the most effective prayer models to follow. And we got onto the prayer model called the Lord's Prayer. And I asked him, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And he said to me, of course I know the Lord's Prayer. And I said to him, look, you don't look too convinced that you know the Lord's Prayer properly. So, you know, I'm not a betting man, but I said, let's put a wager on this. And so I said to him, so how are we going to, he says, you know what? Give me 5,000 rand, I'll recite it to you perfectly. And I said to him, don't be crazy, man. I'm not going to give you 5,000 rand. So he said, okay, 2,000. And so after toggling for a few minutes, I decided, okay, 2,000 rand is good. And he doesn't trust me. So he says, go down to the bank at North at Square and draw the 2,000 rand. And I want you to hold on to it so that when I recite it, you can give it to me. And so I went down, I drew out the 2,000 rand, I put it in my pocket, came home, and I said to him, now recite it, but you have to recite it perfectly. And so he mustered up all his courage, and he was confident. He says, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I started laughing hysterically. I was beside myself. I was so shocked. I took out the 2,000 rand. I gave it to him. I didn't realize that he knew it so well. The reason why I say that is some people are laughing and other people are going, what's the problem? Because some people don't know the Lord's Prayer or the significance of the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Our preaching theme for the month of April has been Ancient Pause, and we've been dealing with the topic or the subject of prayer. And if you haven't watched some of those, you've missed some of those, I encourage you to go to our YouTube page, Connections Church, and listen to those. That would be an absolute blessing to you. This morning, I'm going to conclude the month's theme with a sermon I've entitled Basic Training, Praying Like Jesus Did. Amen. I'm going to be preaching a prayer model that Jesus taught his disciples. And this is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we prepare to receive the Word of God. Let's put our hands on our hearts and let's mean business with God for the next few moments. Father, we honor you, we worship you, we glorify you, we thank you that you are present in our midst. You are a God that never leaves us and never forsakes us. Lord, I make it known today that I am absolutely dependent on you. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, teach and unveil your word to your people. I thank you, Lord God, that as your word enters into the hearts of your people, all confusion and doubt is dispelled. Faith rises in the hearts of your people. I thank you, Lord God, that your word would go forth and not return void, but would accomplish the purpose for which it was sent this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen. You may take your seats. Thank you so much. My entire high school career was spent at Simonstown High School. Every morning we would go to our register class, and we would, after registering our attendance, the teacher would often ask us to do a devotion and then lead our class in a morning prayer. And we started out in grade 10 with a teacher called Mrs. Fowler, and she would give us days that we had to prepare for. We would have to come in and then we would have to do our devotion, our scripture reading, and then pray. And one of the things that was done every single week, week after week, was students would come in, they would sit down, they would stand up, they would do their devotion, read their scripture, and then they would say, could everyone please stand with me and join me as we do the Lord's Prayer? And so we would begin, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And everyone knows that, or most people know that. Certainly the older generation know that. And my teacher got frustrated, and she would sigh, and she would sort of grumble. And one day, she stood up, and she said, guys, I'm so over listening I'm so over listening to people say the Lord's Prayer verbatim every single day. Could you, for a change, pray from your heart? Stop saying the Lord's Prayer. It's not meant to be said that way. Amen? And so, as it happened, the next day was my turn to be doing devotion and lead the class in prayer. And I decided I was going to go home and I was going to change the trajectory of our devotion in our class forever. I arrived at school determined and confident. And as I read the scripture to the class, I decided now is the time that I am going to lead them in a prayer from the heart. And everyone stood with me as I invited them to. And as I was about to pray, I realized I have no idea what I'm supposed to say. I have no idea what words I'm supposed to use. And so I was left in a state of panic. And I was thinking, God, what are you going to do? God, what am I about to say? I don't know how to pray. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. And so suddenly a revelation struck my soul. I knew immediately what I was supposed to do. And I told them all, repeat after me, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as I was praying, I heard my register class teacher just sigh and grumble. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what words we're supposed to use when we pray. How many of us have gone through the same thing in our lives? Be honest this morning, right? We're asked to pray, but we're unable to pray because we don't know how to pray or we don't know what words we're supposed to use. Maybe you've even got to the point in your life where you've built up a confidence to pray out loud. You decide to pray, but then somebody starts just before you and then they pray what I like to call an exhaustive thesaurus prayer, you know? And I remember as a newish believer, I was in a prayer meeting with about 100, 150 people, and I was about to pray, and as I was about to pray, a gentleman gets up and he begins to pray passionately, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Yeshua, living God, great redeemer of our souls. We beseech you with all humility and awareness of our depravity. And I stood there and I thought, why didn't I beseech God? Why didn't I mention depravity? What? And immediately I decided I wasn't going to pray because my prayer would sound stupid in comparison to what this guy prayed. Anyone ever been there before? It's not a criticism or judgment. It's just something that happens to many Christians, not just new believers, but even more mature believers. They just don't know how to pray or what words to use. So I didn't pray. But I want you to set yourself free today because prayer is an expression of your heart to the heart of the Father. It's not an assessment of your spiritual maturity. Amen? Years ago, when I was a younger believer, I read a quote that really changed my mind. And it's from Dom Chapman, and it says this, pray as you can, not as you can't. So many people want to pray what other people pray. They listen to people praying these eloquent and complicated prayers, and they're going, I want to sound that mature. I want to sound that spiritual. And so they begin to pray what other people pray, but it isn't from the heart. And so it's not effective because God is wanting and longing for you to communicate your heart to Him. He wants relationship. He wants connection. He wants intimacy. He wants trust. Amen. The beauty of the Lord's Prayer is that it's not meant to be prayed verbatim. It's a prayer model that Jesus taught his disciples that guides us to understand intimacy with the Father, the perfection of the Father's heart towards us, the desire of God for his will to be done in our lives and in the world, that God desires to meet our needs, that we must deal with unforgiveness and bitterness if we want our prayer answered. Amen. And that Father God is sovereign over all. So this morning, let's open our hearts and say, Father, we don't want to sit here and just listen to another word, but we want to learn. We want to receive from you, Jesus. We want to receive from your teaching on how we're supposed to address, how we're supposed to approach the Father and pray effective prayers that get answered. You with me this morning? Read with me in Luke 11, verse 1. When he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our sins as we also forgive anyone who has sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the Lord's Prayer is divided into two sections. The first section in verse 1 and 2 is focused on God. Amen. Whenever we pray effective prayer, we have to realize that God is our first priority. And then the second section, which is verse 3 and 4, is focused on us and our needs. You see, the Bible says in, where is it? In Matthew 6, verse 7. It says, when you pray, don't, no, that's not the one. Where are we? In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you also. When we prioritize God and his kingdom, his righteousness, his purposes, all the other things that we are asking of God and requesting of God, those things are added to our lives. Amen. And so we have to get the understanding that it's God first. If you take care of God's business, he takes care of your life. Do you believe that this morning? So let's learn to pray like Jesus. The first thing we need to do is we need to be willing to learn. Luke 11 verse 1 says, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, pray like this. If you don't know how to pray, or if you're nervous of praying, if you're unsure of the words you're supposed to use, make the choice that you're not going to stop praying. Make the choice that you're not going to pray. Amen? Which so many people do. Read the Bible. Learn how to pray. Read the Bible. Attend courses at the church. Join Connections Academy. Buy a good book. And learn what good prayer and effective prayer looks like. Can I encourage you? Don't stop praying because you're not sure how to, but learn. The disciples were desiring to pray effectively. They wanted to pray in a way that they witnessed Jesus pray. See, the Bible says they were watching him pray, and when he had finished praying, his disciples go to him and they say, just like John taught his disciples, will you please teach us how to pray? We want to pray like you pray. Amen. And so we need to be students of the word. We need to be students of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to pray. There are many kinds of prayers, and some people can find that quite intimidating. Some people pray extravagant, long-winded, eloquent-sounding prayer because they think it impresses God and it gets people's attention. But Jesus warns us about that kind of prayer. Matthew 6, verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on like the Gentiles do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. And so people sometimes try to make a spectacle of themselves. They try to be recognized and seen for their maturity. And they cry out to God and they repeat things, but they're not effective because there's certain things missing from their prayer that God doesn't answer them. Amen? Here is an encouragement to start praying if you felt nervous or fearful of praying. Start small. An honest prayer can be as simple as, Father, help me. Father, strengthen me. Father, hold me. Father, speak to me. Father, heal my broken heart. Father, forgive me. Father, I need you. And when you pray a prayer that is genuine, authentic, and from the heart, God the Father hears you. Amen. Don't neglect prayer. Learn to pray and start small if necessary. The second thing about the Lord's Prayer is it's intimate. Make prayer intimate. Luke 11, verse 2, he said to them, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." And there are three thoughts you can extract from that one scripture. And the first thought is this: Father is an intimate title. It says, "Our Father." We are to pray to our Father. Jesus didn't say pray to Almighty God. He didn't teach us to pray to an authority figure that we have no relationship with. He taught the disciples, and he teaches us by his word to pray to God as a father. Amen? As a child, I would speak to my father in a very normal way. I would say, "Sir, please, can I have some more? I doth beseech thee, give your groveling offspring some sustenance for my weary and weakened physical frame." Obviously, I didn't do that. Amen? Obviously, because he's my dad and he's a good dad. And so when I went to my father and I wanted something, I would go, "Dad, I need a little bit more munch." And my dad, because he loves me, he says, "Yeah, boy, take it." And I'd go and I'd eat it, I'd enjoy it, because my dad loves me and he wants to give me what I need. Amen. Even when I was younger, a toddler, I'd go to my father without mentioning words. I'd just, and my dad goes, "Here we go." He runs into the cupboard. He goes and gets my favorite purity, chocolate. And he would bring it to me and feed it to me. You know why? Because he knows me. He's my father. He's my daddy. When we pray, don't go, "Almighty God, creator of the heaven and earth, he who is far away, we beseech thee, Father, Daddy. Dad, you know me. Dad, you know my needs, Daddy. And I want you to know your daddy, your heavenly father, he wants to give you your needs." Amen. The second part that we can take from that one verse is God wants us to know him as a perfect father who is in heaven. There's no secret that you get good fathers and you get bad fathers on earth, right? No father on earth is perfect, but people have different experiences from their fathers. Some people have had extremely dysfunctional relationships with their fathers. Maybe you've experienced physical, emotional, or verbal abuse from your father. Perhaps you've experienced a father who deserted you. Perhaps you felt unloved and uncared for. Maybe you don't know what it feels like to be protected by a father. And your experience of your earthly fathers shapes the image of what God is to you. When you hear that God is a father, the first thing that comes into your mind is what I attached, the emotion and the feeling I attached to the experience of my earthly father. And what I like about this is Jesus is telling them, when you pray, you say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Jesus is clearly making a differentiation between what is on earth and what is in heaven. God, who is in heaven, is a good, good Father. He is a perfect Father. He wants to bless you. He wants to love you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to do good to you. Amen. Jesus makes it clear that God is not an earthly father. He is a good father. He is a perfect father who hears you and answers you from heaven. And the third thing we take out of that one scripture is our heavenly Father is the author of good things in our lives. Can I get a big amen on that? Because it continues and it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And you have to understand the significance of the word hallowed and how it's attached to the name of God. Because when we say Father, when we say the name of the Father, a thought process is conjured up in people's minds. And even mature Christians go, how come a loving God, a loving Father would allow evil and horrible things to happen to us? Or how can he cause it to happen to us? Anyone ever experienced that or thought that? Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. How can a loving God allow these awful things to take place in our lives? I don't believe that God is a loving father that allows terrible things to take place in our lives, and I'll explain why. The word hallowed, in hallowed be your name, means consecrated or set apart. And it is directly opposed to the idea of anything that is profane or anything that is evil. And so Jesus is explaining to them in the prayer, when you're addressing your Father who is as heaven, I want you to understand that the attachment to his name, the experience you get from his name, is one that is set apart from the profanity and the evil that takes place in the world. God is a God of blessing. He's a God of love. He's a God that wants to bless you and be good to you. Amen? Don't misunderstand who God is based on your earthly experiences. He's a good father. Amen. In James 1 verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Know this morning that your good Father in heaven wants to bless you, not harm you. He wants to give you a future full of hope. He wants you to draw close to him. The third thing we have to do is bring heaven to earth. Luke 11 verse 2 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I was growing up in the home as a child, my father had this one thing that he would repeatedly say to us. He says, I want you to know that this is my castle and I am the king of this castle. In other words, I'm in charge. I'm daddy here. And he would often express to us, I need you to understand that there is a certain way that we do things in my castle, in my kingdom. There's a certain way that we will act. There are certain things that we will do in this home, right? And he would say to us, for instance, you will do your chores. Evil. You will brush your teeth. More evil. He would say to us, you will eat your vegetables. You'd go to bed at the right time so you wake up refreshed in the morning. You will never speak to your mother disrespectfully. You will treat adults with honor and respect always. And he said, I do this because I want you to grow up to be successful, contributing members of society. He says, this is for your benefit. Amen. We need to understand that in heaven, there are certain things, certain ways that God acts. Jesus is the king of his kingdom. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are praying that God would use us to express his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his mercy, his compassion, and his kindness on earth. Say, Father, we want your kingdom to come. How it is in heaven, we want it to be expressed through us on earth. Amen. When we pray, let your will be done, we must know what the will of God is. Amen. What is the will of God? The way we learn the will of God is to read his word. The word of God contains the will of God. Example, the will of God says that we should be holy. So when I'm in prayer, I don't just go, Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done. No, that's a model. He's telling you, these are the things you can pray in this part of the model. Father, I want to be holy as you are holy. I want to express you to the world. I want to radiate your image to the world. I want to represent your holiness to the world. God's will is that we would repent of sin. The Bible says in Matthew 3 verse 2 that Jesus came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so when I'm praying, your will be done, your kingdom come, I'm saying, Father, I'm a man of sin, a man of unclean lips, a man of a wrong heart. Lord, today I ask you to forgive me. I repent. I change direction. Lord, I will no longer do these things. I want to live a life that honors you and a life that glorifies you, a life that represents you. Amen? God's will is salvation for all of mankind. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, it says, God desires that all people come to the knowledge of salvation. And so when I'm praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm not just saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm saying, God, there is a world that is lost. God, there are people that need you. I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, show me who you would want me to speak to. God, take me across the path of those who are desperately in need of the Savior. May I be a light in the shining world. Lord God, shine your light through me. Bring in the lost, Lord God. Amen. I had a lady once approach me and tell me that she had prayed for a better husband because the one she had was broken. I kid you not, this happened a number of years ago. She said to me, and I prayed and I asked God for a new husband because my old one is broken. And she says, I know that I prayed according to the will of God because God answered me and I've got a new boyfriend. And I stood there in shock. And I was telling her, I know you think that you prayed according to the word of God and the will of God, but you didn't. And I know you feel that God answered your prayer, but he didn't. I can tell you who did answer your prayer, Satan. We weren't friends after that. But the fact is this, the Bible says, whom God has joined together, no human being must separate. That is the will of God. So I can pray for my marriage that's struggling, and I can say, God, because you've joined us together, I thank you that nothing will come in the way. I pray against the enemy's attack. Amen? We have to pray the will of God, so we have to read the word of God to know what his will is. I encourage you to diligently pray for God's kingdom to come. Study and pray from the word of God for his will to be done. Amen? The fourth thing is present your needs to God. In Luke 11, verse 3, it says, give us each day our daily bread. At this point of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we're moving from the focus on God, making him a priority, and now we begin to move the focus onto us, and we're praying for our needs. It's important to understand that when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he was teaching them to pray for their daily bread. Daily bread was part of the main supply for the day. In other words, that was their needs that they had to have met. Jesus said, pray for your needs, not for your greeds. Amen? You may need food, but you don't need lobster and caviar. You may need water to drink, but you don't need a 2,000 rand bottle of wine. Amen? You may need a vehicle to get to work to earn a living, but you don't need a Lamborghini to show off to your friends. You may need a home for shelter, but you don't need a mansion in Bishop's Court to impress people. Now, if you have those things, praise God. God's been good to you. And we know that God blesses his people. Amen. We know that God gives people the desires of their heart, and he's a good God. And if you're one of those people that have a Lamborghini and eating lobster and having 2,000 rand bottles of wine, I will be your friend. But know this, one of God's covenant names is Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh. It's a covenant name you found in Genesis 22. And it means the Lord will provide. Because of one of God's covenant names, it means God cannot break his promises of provision for you as his covenant partner. That's a powerful thing to understand, that he is the covenant God of provision. And so when you're going through strain and difficulty and a difficult time, you're saying, Father, right now I need electricity, Lord God. I need power for my family. I need power for my home. Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that provides. And so I remind you of your promises. And Lord, I open my arms and I prepare, for I know that you are my great provider. And then God provides because it's his promise that he would. Amen. Remind God of his promises. He is the Lord who provides for his children. The fifth and second last thing is, you need to escape your prayer prison. You need to escape your prayer prison. You have to deal with your heart. Luke 11 verse 4, and forgive us of our sins as we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us. Many believers don't understand that their prayers aren't answered because they have put themselves into a prayer prison. I read a quote that I found to be so accurate. It says, unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. Whoa, it's powerful. Notice that when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he says, and then when you ask for forgiveness, forgive us of our trespasses, it is followed by a clause. As we forgive everyone who has sinned against us. Amen. It's not just one or two people. Everyone that has sinned against you, forgive them. If you have taken offense, if you have picked up offense, and you're walking around, you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I have been praying for years. I have been faithful. I have been a good Christian. I have read the Bible. I have quoted the Bible. I have stood in faith. I have decided that I would be resolute. I have faith that God will do this, and he hasn't answered my prayer. I'm going to encourage you to go and check out your heart. I'm going to go and encourage you to check out your heart. There might be bitterness. There might be unforgiveness that is stopping you from having your prayer answered. This is truth in the Word of God. God's forgiving us is dependent on us forgiving everybody that has offended us and caused us harm. Mark 11, verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, two words there, anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins also. At this point in the Lord's Prayer, we should search our hearts. We should release forgiveness, release the bitterness and the pain. Set the people that have sinned against you free so that God can answer your prayer. Amen. Forgive everyone today and watch how God powerfully answers your prayer. And finally, submit to the Father's leading. Luke 11 verse 4b says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray for God's leading and for God's protection. When preparing this, I read Psalm 23, and God downloaded something into my soul. It says in Psalm 23, it says, he leads me besides, in verse 2, it says, he leads me besides quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You see, we must put our trust in our great shepherd. Amen. To lead us away from thorns and thistle bushes and to cause us to not get trapped in fruitless places. Let me ask you a question. Do we ask God daily to lead us? Do we recognize his voice when he warns us and diverts us from danger? Do we do the things he nudges us to stay away from? And even though we ask him to lead us away from temptation and quiet and to quiet waters and refresh our souls, we choose to still go into dark places. It's called disobedience. Every day I pray for myself and I pray for my family. I pray, God, let us not be distracted by the desires of our flesh. Lead us to places that would honor you and bring glory to your name. Protect us from the arrows of the enemy. Amen. Choose today that you would listen to the voice of the Father. Because he wants to take you to places of refreshing, to places that are still waters, green pastures. He wants to take you to good places. Don't choose to live in rebellion to his leading that will take you to dark and fruitless places in your life. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as we close. I'm going to ask you to put your hand on your heart as we spend time in the presence of God. Ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and do business with God for a few moments. Your prayer life could look so very different if you would pray according to the model that Jesus taught. Intimacy with the Father would become a reality. Your prayer could see God's kingdom come and his will be done in and through your life. you could experience the provision that your covenant God promised you. If you deal with unforgiveness and bitterness, you will see God powerfully answering your prayer. You could know the leading of your great shepherd away from darkness and sin and to places of rest and refreshing. Father, I do pray for the sons and daughters of the living God that stand in this place. We are the children of God. God, you are our Father, you are Daddy, you are Abba to us. Even now, I pray that your presence would be made known in this place, that your presence would manifest in the heart of every person, they would know your closeness, that you are a God that desires intimacy, a God that desires to bless your children. Father, I do pray this morning that we would be a people that are willing to learn, a people that would sit at the feet of Jesus, read your word, and learn to love you, learn to pray, learn to communicate with you, learn to share our hearts with you authentically. Father, I do pray that we would make our prayer intimate, that you are not just Almighty God, but you are Abba, Father, your Daddy. So Daddy, this morning, as we stand in your presence with your children, Lord God, would they be aware of the fact that you love us with a love that we cannot fathom or understand? May there be a deep intimacy with us and you. Father, I pray that we would live in a way that we would bring heaven to earth. Your will be done, your kingdom come. We pray for the lost. Lord God, we pray for marriages. Father God, we pray for all the things that Jesus told us that are important to you. Have your way in our lives and through our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I know that your people have needs. Your people have needs in their own personal spaces. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you be Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and therefore provides every need of your people, not their greeds, but their needs. Give them today their daily bread. Father, I thank you that you would supernaturally open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out such blessing upon your people. I thank you, Lord God, for increases. I thank you for blessing. I thank you for surprises. I thank you for job opportunities. Lord, I thank you that debt is cleared in Jesus' name, is canceled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that you would provide the need of your people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that every person here would do an introspection. Lord, perhaps your people stand here and they know, Father God, that prayer hasn't been answered because they've been walking in unforgiveness and bitterness. And right now, as you stand, your family, make the decision that you're going to release the person that's offended you, that you're going to release the person that's hurt you. You're going to release the person that has caused you to walk in bitterness and be in a prayer prison. Release them right now. Forgive them right now in Jesus' name. And watch how God pours out his blessing and answers your prayer. And Father, we pray this morning that you would lead us, guide us, direct us, Father God, into refreshing places by still streams. May we hear your voice, Father God, as your hand of protection rests over us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Please, no one looking around. This is right now a time between you and God. You might be here this morning, you're saying to me, Brent, I'm hearing you speak about God as Abba, as about Daddy, as a father, but I don't even think I have a relationship with him. I don't know him as Daddy. I know him as Almighty God. I know him as the God of the Christians. But I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so I haven't been reconciled to the Father. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. Jesus made a powerful statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. You see, for us to be reconciled to Father, we have to receive Jesus. We have to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. He forgives us of our sin, cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and he reconciles us to the Father, and heaven becomes our eternal destination. So as you stand here this morning, you might feel just a stirring on the inside of your heart, pounding your chest. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father. I want you to respond to that. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond just by lifting your hand, and I'll include you in a prayer. Don't worry about the people next to you. This is not between you and them. Ask yourself this question. If I died today, where would I wake up to spend eternity? You can be sure if you make the right choice today. So while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, no one's looking around, this is between you and God. If you would like to receive him this morning and know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to slip your hand up and I'll include you in a prayer. I won't bring you to the front. I'm just going to pray a prayer with the congregation. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand and say, Brent, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, just quickly slip up your hand and say, Brent, that's me. Right over here, Kelly. God bless you. Anyone else? In the front over here as well. Right up front here. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Anyone else who just senses right now there's a stirring, you know God's speaking to you. Don't leave this place without making this most important decision. Anyone else, quickly slip your hand and say, Brent, that's me. And I'll include you in that prayer. Let's pray this together, especially those with their hands up. Say, Father, this morning, I thank you for your great love. Your word says, if I would say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I would be saved. I do that today. Now I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. I receive you as my Lord. Declare you as my Savior. I choose today to lay down my life, to pick up my cross, and to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Because I've done this, I am now saved. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen, amen. Can we give them a hand this morning? Let's congratulate them.
We trust that you have been encouraged by the sermon. If you have decided to commit your life to Jesus, congratulations on the best decision of your life. Please let us know at info@connectionschurch.co.za. We would love to celebrate your decision and help you navigate your new relationship with God. God bless you.